USA Today's Dan Wolkin here on 92.3 The Fan. Dan, how's it going, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm trying to do the mental gymnastics that accompany an injury to Zion Williamson, where I do believe that the college system is deeply flawed. I don't think it's 100% right, but I also see the value that Zion Williamson, in his unique situation, has amassed by playing this 1 year at Duke, from being outside of the top three overall to now being a consensus number one overall pick. And I'm trying to wrestle with the idea of what this injury actually means, Dan.
Well, I don't think it really means a whole lot. I think if you look at where they're, or how they're talking about it as of last night, and I haven't seen any more news today, but you know, kind of a minor common knee sprain, you know, that's just not a major deal, regardless of what level you're playing at. Now, you know, he may have to sit out a week, 2 weeks, and if he decides to shut it down, like any other player, you have to respect that decision. He doesn't have a contract. He's playing in college as an amateur, not getting paid. And if that's a decision somebody makes, then that's on them. You have to respect that. But I don't necessarily think that's the decision he would make if he is physically able to play for Duke in the NCAA tournament. Look, the problem with this discussion, and it's something that nobody really wants to acknowledge, that for somebody who is a, quote, future NBA player, like Zion Williamson, like a lot of the Duke kids, like, you know, the 20 or 30 players in college basketball right now, there is no league in the world where they could go play today and be compensated equal to the value that they have. It just doesn't exist. Now, you could go to the G League and play for $100,000. You could go to Europe and play for $500,000 or maybe even $1 million potentially. But if you, you know, any of those leagues you go to and play, again, as a, quote, future NBA player, if you go blow out your knee and it's catastrophic and you're never going to be the same and you're never going to play basketball have an opportunity to make millions of dollars playing basketball, you still have been shortchanged based on your potential as a, quote, future NBA player. So, you know, I just, like, what are you supposed to do? Like, you're just not going to play basketball for 6 months. You're not going to, you know, you're not going to practice. You're not going to run. You're not going to have, you know, physical activity. Like, I think people just go way overboard with some of this when the reality is most injuries, even what we would consider significant injuries in basketball, do not prevent teams from drafting players really highly. So on some level, I just kind of sit here and go, what are we even talking about?
Dan Wolkin is our guest from the USA Today. Dan, you know, a lot of people are blaming the NCAA, as we're talking about here a little bit, but it seems like people should be more mad maybe at the leagues, right? I mean, because these players have to go play at least 1 year of college. They have to be 1 year out or whatever. But the NBA, if they let players come out of high school, then you would never have this discussion, right?
Well, I think it's just a fact that college sports, the NCAA, has done everything it can do to try to say to the, quote, one and done crowd that we don't want you. They've said, you know, NBA, fix your rule. It's the NBA's rule. And they've told the kids who come to college specifically to be one and done players that they should consider going to play in Europe or going to the G League or taking other avenues. The NCAA has tried to legislate that out of its game. And so now I think that's stupid. I think it's beneficial to college sports and to college basketball to have a Zion Williamson, to have an RJ Barrett, you know, playing even if it's just for 5 months. But that is not the NCAA's fault at all. Now, there's certainly reasons why the NCAA system is bad, why it's unfair, and why common sense needs to prevail and they need to let these kids profit off their name, image, and likeness. But that has nothing to do with what the NBA has decided along the lines of its collective bargaining agreement.
Dan, if you're Zion Williamson's parents, do you have him play? Or even if you're just Zion, let's say, do you play after you come back from this mild knee sprain and try to make a run through the tournament, or do you just hang it up?
Well, look, I'm not in their shoes, and I don't have all the information about the injury, so it's hard for me to really say. But I would also add, just there is nothing Zion Williamson can do at this point. For better or worse, it's going to change the fact he's the number one pick in the draft. I mean, he could go out there and tear an ACL. He's still going to be a number one pick. He ruptures Achilles. He's still going to be the number one pick. So he is so far above the rest of the other players as a prospect that, you know, even if he had an injury, he would teams would look at him and say, he's the best player, he'll heal, and we're willing to roll the dice on the fact that he can be the same player that we saw at Duke this year. There's just a long history of that. I mean, Kenyon Martin snapped his leg in the Conference USA tournament as a senior at Cincinnati and was still the number one pick a few months later. You know, you've seen Joel Embiid have significant injuries before the draft. And Philadelphia picked him at number three, and he probably should have been taken number one. So I just don't really think much is going to change regardless of what happens. I think the risk factor is kind of overstated.
Have you ever seen that injury with the shoe like that? That was bizarre last night. I mean, I played college athletics. I played a little pro ball. I've never, ever had a shoe malfunction like that in my life. That was wild.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen that. Now, subsequently, other people have claimed it's happened at various times to them playing in certain shoes. You know, some of these shoes, you know, and I've owned pairs myself, you know, kind of the materials are made from seem kind of they're very light, and they're meant to be light and breathable and you know, meant to be less weight and less stress. But you know, I'm not a shoe technology guy, like, so I don't know how all that works. But there are a lot of shoes you can buy that are, you know, very expensive and very well regarded that are made of some pretty light materials, I would say.
Do you know if they make those locally here? We were having the discussion about Major League Baseball and how the new era caps, the ones that are actually used for the ball players, are made in the factory in New Jersey that they're going to move to Florida. Do you know if locally, do they make the shoes here, or is that outsourced as well? I know that's a random question.
I have absolutely no idea. That sounds like a Darren Rovell question. I have no idea where they make this stuff.
Like, you would think that the top athletes in the world would get the shoes that were like, it'd be like made like by hand instead of like off of an assembly line in some other foreign country. I don't know. It just kind of seems bizarre to me.
Yeah, no, again, I mean, you know, how the shoe companies do business, I don't know. And, you know, but it is interesting. I mean, I think as a result of this, frankly, the price for Zion Williamson to sign with a company like Nike has probably gone up, ironically.
He probably made money last night from Nike. If he's a Nike guy, you think now they want to make it up to him or something. Who knows?
Terrific. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that's sort of a terrific outcome if that's the way it plays out. That, you know, it's really a nothing injury, but the kind of exposure out of all of it has made him more marketable and desirable to Nike at a higher price because of kind of the embarrassment of the whole situation.
It's very interesting. USA Today's Dan Wolken here on 92.3 The Fan. Dan, what did you think about Georgia issuing that technical foul for the fan throwing an object on the court for Mississippi State as they hit the free throw with 68-67 with half a second left? I think it sets a horrible precedent moving forward.
Well, so my view on it is there should be a rule in place that potentially penalizes a team if there's a situation where a crowd is out of control, right? And it's up to the school to kind of get the crowd under control. And we've all seen situations where there's a bad call and, you know, the people are throwing cups and, you know, it's just the floor becomes unplayable and someone's got to get on the microphone and tell everybody to, you know, warn everybody, tell them to calm down. And it's a crowd control issue. Like, we've all seen that, and I can sort of understand, you know, issuing a technical foul in that situation if the school just sort of refuses to do what they need to do. But, you know, one rogue person throwing a teddy bear on the floor, like, I just don't think that that's a situation that merits a penalty to the team or the school or any of the participants in the game who had really nothing to do with it. And especially when you're talking about, you know, down at the end, it's a tie game. This could literally impact the outcome of it. I just think there, you know, show some discretion you know, that the greater good here is not being served by issuing a technical foul for one person throwing something. I just don't see how that makes any sense.
Dan, as you just kind of take a look at the just the college basketball landscape here, like if Zion comes back and plays, it seems hard to believe that anybody could beat Duke in the tournament. Am I crazy?
Well, I one game elimination tournament. So we've seen teams that seem unbeatable or have been number one all year go down to defeats that we never saw coming. I mean, last year I was sitting courtside when a number one team in Virginia that had just rolled through the ACC got beat and beaten badly by UMBC. So anything could happen in the NCAA tournament, and Duke is not a team that's flawless. Even with Zion Williamson, they don't shoot great all the time. In fact, a lot of times they shoot poorly, and they're able to win in spite of it because of what they can do in other areas. At some point in the tournament, they probably will need to make shots, and if they don't, they could go down to defeat against a good team, even with Zion Williamson. So I think when they're fully healthy and everything is 100%, yeah, they're the best team, but that doesn't mean that I would necessarily bank on them winning a national championship.
Last thing for me, Dan, you know, obviously a just terrible situation last night in Syracuse with Coach Boeheim, and, you know, it kills a pedestrian driving home from the game late last night. You know, he's issued an apology, and I mean, I feel awful for both parties involved here. You think there'll be any more that comes out of this?
Oh, I mean, I'm sure that you know, there's going to be a lot of coverage of it, and you know, I don't know what Boeheim will say, what he'll be able to say, what the family of the person or any other witnesses will say. I mean, from what I understood, he's not being charged with a crime. You know, I certainly hope that, you know, there's no other circumstance here that would be problematic other than just sort of a freak accident. Yeah, I mean, it's just sad all the way around.
No doubt about it. Dan, great stuff. We appreciate you giving us a couple minutes of your time, man.
All right, see you guys later. Thanks.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks so much. Dan Wolken, USA Today.